the pattern of our lives are telling them what we actually believe. So if they hear, I believe this is important, and we never spend any time in God's word. So I always tell parents, don't read the Bible on your phone. Seeing the physical Bible matters, because they don't know, are you reading Sports Center? Are you reading a news article? They don't know, are you playing Wordle? They don't know what you're doing on your phone. But when you have your Bible actually in front of you and your kids see it, it's a little something that's getting in, you know, to them.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today.
As we travel and speak about marriage, about parenting, what are your thoughts?
Don't ask me a question. What do you mean?
Just like we talk to a lot of parents around the country. And what do you think they're, especially with teenagers, what do you think the vibe and the feel is?
Immediately, the first thought was fear-based.
Yes.
They parent out of fear.
Exhaustion.
Oh, definitely.
There's an exhaustion with little kids that's physical. But with teen years, it becomes mental.
And spiritual.
Yes.
And emotional.
Yeah.
It's all the above.
Right.
So we need some answers. So we don't only have just Melissa Krueger, who we had here earlier. She's back. You talk so much about parenting in your book, by the way. Like I said before, Parenting with Hope, one of the best ever, in my opinion.
It's so good. And because you're talking about teenagers, Melissa, and parents with teenagers.
So welcome back.
Are you feeling that too with teenage parents?
Oh, yes. I mean, the fear is kind of on steroids, and it can be directed towards cultural fears and then how that's going to impact my teen.
Yes.
You know, they're just kind of screaming louder at everyone because things have gotten probably wilder than we could have thought that they would get.
Yes.
In some ways. We all are looking at it saying, wow, I didn't expect this.
Yeah.
And then the internet and social media amplifies it. So now we actually know more than we have. I mean, I think we can actually say that. I'm always a little bit wary of saying more than in any generation. Because I'm like, look.
Every generation said that.
There have been really hard things in lots of generations. You know, if I was living during World War II and being bombed, I'd be like, okay, there's a lot to fear every day. But I would say we have more access to information than we ever have had in society. Right. I mean, our little cell phones can tell us what's happening in India, what's happening in China, what's happening in Russia in real time. I mean,
and we can see what some of these teenagers are doing and saying, and it freaks us out.
Well, and also, you know, the cell phone. And again, it's a wonderful gift. But our teenagers and our 7-year-olds are being influenced now by people that we don't even know and we don't agree with.
Yeah.
And we don't maybe know their influence on our kids because they have access to our child through, you know, we would never put a TV show in front of our kids. That channel, we would not let them watch. And yet they may be watching it in their bedroom on their phone.
But let's
That's
not
scary.
Forget who else is at the table.
I know. Never been
our
in the studio.
Executive producer, Jim Mitchell.
He has come out of the audio booth into the studio.
Jim, he's got the real answers.
How do you feel coming in here?
I've come from the room where things are so much easier. You never get anything wrong in that room over there. Now I'm in here with you guys. But it is fun being in here.
It's awesome.
And it's great being with you, Melissa.
I'm so glad you're here because I'm hoping you're going to have answers that I don't have.
I don't know about that. You're one of our favorite guests.
We've
had you on a few times, you and your husband, Michael, and phenomenal stuff. Mm-hmm. Actually, these programs that we've recorded with you, you were here recently, and I was going to tell you about a story that happened while you were recording. So I'm literally in the other room listening to you talk about permissive parenting versus authoritative parenting and even authoritarian parenting. I was riveted. I think I'm the permissive parent, by the way. I'm good cop. Anyway, while you were recording, literally saying the things you were saying, Melissa, and I was learning and taking notes. My son calls me and he says to me, Daddy, I don't think I'm going to do good on this test on Friday. I haven't had any time to study. As a parent, I'm like, okay, no time to study. You know, I'm thinking the normal parent thought, like, really, no time to study. And he says, I could study tonight, but I want to go to see Jenny Allen and I think JP, Jonathan Pakluta, do a thing called Unite. And listening to you, I'm just telling you, I'm crediting you, Melissa, you guys, you and Dave and Ann, like I'm listening to y'all talk about as a dad how to prioritize the right things. So I had a choice to make on the phone call. And I'm thinking I could coach him on how to prep for the test. I could maybe give him a little mini low-key lecture on how to plan your time better. And by the grace of God, I just said to my son, tonight, when you go to Unite with Jenny Allen and JP, that's the most important thing that's going to happen to you this week, bar none. That's what you're on planet Earth for, son. Go and worship and forget about this test right now. And then tomorrow, I know you got a full day of classes, so just tomorrow night, cram as best as you can. And if you make a C in this class, move on. You know, I can tell you it's not going to be a big deal for you. Little pause on the phone, and he says to me, Daddy, thank you and Mom for not pressuring me on my grades. He said, I got a friend who his dad never let him make a B. He got in trouble for a B, and you've just never done that to me.
That makes me tear up. I mean, when you were telling it, I was just like, you're so right. You're made to worship.
Yeah.
This is the lesson.
Yeah.
I think what he heard from you was, remember what's most important in your life. And I think that was the best thing he could hear in that moment. I think, you know, what's wonderful in that moment, we get to be those dispensers of grace.
That's what I was going to say. Grace always
that they're
wins.
Not going to give themselves.
Yeah. And to remind them, the world's telling you you're created to produce good grades. I'm telling you you're created for worship.
Yeah.
And it's not like Evan does this all the time. If he was constantly skipping class, if I don't care what my kid was doing, if they're going to a worship thing, I'd skip class every day of the week. But if worship things come in, go to that.
Yeah, he's not a skipper.
No.
He's a little like me. He kind of procrastinates on the things he doesn't want to do.
Dave and I are good at that.
We all learn that. Yeah, we all have to learn that. So he's probably not studying in advance, but he's doing it way more than I ever did. It's not uncommon on Friday nights for him to be at the library doing homework.
Wow.
And who doesn't want a college student on Friday nights who's not at the bar? He's in the library working on his homework. So I think he's learning that. I love your coaching, though, on timing. Like a week later is very different than in the moment when he's dreading the test and he's beating himself up for all the mistakes that he made.
I remember one time my daughter came to me. It was maybe 11:35 at night, which, you know, as a parent, your brain, I was meaning to be in bed an hour before then. And she was in tears, crying. She was a group project. Group projects are always bad.
No.
Someone had not done their part of the group project, but it was due at midnight. So this is part of parenting teens right now. I hate that things can be due at midnight.
Yes.
That's new, right? I mean, for me, you had to be in school to turn it in.
Yeah.
Right.
So she comes to me and tears. Now, at that moment, the worst thing I could have done was lecture her. And by God's grace, the Holy Spirit intervened and prevented me from, and I just said, we're going to do this together. And so we got to stop crying about it because that's not really going to help. And we're going to jump in and we're going to do, because at that moment, she just didn't need the lecture. You know, she needed help. From me in that moment. And at other times I've told her, and I've told her really clearly, hey, my brain stops working after 9 p.m. So if you're going to need help on that essay, can you ask me before? And I do that on a regular basis. Like I say, these are my limitations. Mom shuts down at this point. Brain doesn't work because I've been editing words all day. They think, can't you just do it at 11 p.m.? But, so I think it's right to give them our boundaries. Hey, I can't normally help you at this, but always to see the person and what's going on rather than just see, hey, you should have done it this way.
I mean, Melissa, as you know, wrote about this, and we're all parents of teens and adult children, how much do you think even what Evan experienced and any of our kids experience in their walk with God and what we're dreaming and hoping and praying they'll become men and women of God, how much of that do you think is more how we are living as parents and people and adults than what we are doing?
know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We got parenting strategies. We read the books and we try and have the devotional in the morning or whatever it is. How much is that part of it? And the other part is they're just watching us model rather than tell them, show them. And we're not showing them because we want to show them as this is my strategy. I'm going to show you. It's literally an overflow because we're walking with God.
Yeah.
Or we're not.
Unfortunately, I think our example matters more than exterior practice. And that is terrifying to me.
Me too.
Yes. It's terrifying to us all because I can tell you the things that I've heard from my kids that impacted them the most were things I didn't even know they were noticing.
Yes. Isn't that scary?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's terrifying. So my oldest, Emma, she started reading the Bible on her own. And I had given my kids Bibles and things and made sure they had it. But I never sat down and said, hey, you should every day spend time in God's word. Just never said it explicitly. But she said when she would come down and see me reading the Bible in the morning before the kids got down, she said, that's what made me know that's what you're supposed to do to walk with God. Mm. Not lecturing about it, but living it before them. Mm. And they need our words. They need us to tell them, you know, hey, God's word is important. I mean, at some level, we should be doing those things. But if they don't see it in the pattern of our lives, the pattern of our lives are telling them what we actually believe. So if they hear, I believe this is important, and we never spend any time in God's word. So I always tell parents, don't read the Bible on your phone. Seeing the physical Bible matters because they don't know. Are you reading Sports Center? Are you reading a news article? They don't know. Are you playing Wordle? They don't know what you're doing on your phone. But when you have your Bible actually in front of you and your kids see it, it's a little something that's getting in, you know, to them.
We've
that's
talked good. Previously about how important the relationship is with the kids, not just like, Jim, if you would have called Evan and said, hey, you need to go to this thing. With Jenny Allen and JP, that would be very different from the conversation that he's like, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
And one of the things I noticed when our kids were teenagers, you can tell when your kids' hearts are open or closed to spiritual things, even to your relationship with them. And based on our personalities, Dave and I are pretty, we like to have fun. And some of you are not going to agree with this at all. But when we could tell, like, there's, I feel a distance. I feel them pulling away. I feel their heart being a little more closed. We would do something to build the relationship. And so we would do crazy things. Like we would take them out of school and we would go to like Lord of the Rings. They loved Lord of the Rings. We would take them out of school, like in the middle of the day. They had no idea we were going to do it. Like, get out of school. We're going to Lord of the Rings.
It was an adventure.
All of a sudden, they're like, what are we doing? You talk a lot in your book about grace and just relationships. So will they remember that? They all remember that. Austin had his big horn and he's blowing it in the theater and he probably has his cape on. They all remember that. Will they remember what they did in that day at school? Probably not. And so as parents with teens, maybe your different personality, passion, what you do with them could be different and look different, but give them grace. Think of ways, how can I do something to build our relationship, to open their heart? Because then when that relationship is open, Jim, you are so good at this. So is Lisa. You talk so openly about your own life, of what's going on. Your kids would naturally call you and ask you anything. Dad, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
It says a lot about you. Have you seen that with your kids, like that open, closed
heart?
Oh,
yeah. I love that story. I actually think when kids are going through hard seasons, and I even mean this with young kids.
Yeah.
Because, you know, every kid goes through really, I don't know, What took over you?
You don't
season?
Really like them that much.
I mean, what happened in that?
Yes.
You love them, but...
Yes, I'm like, ooh. And in that time, I always say that's the moment, one, to catch them doing something right. I used to tell moms of young kids, if they just put one carrot in their mouth correctly, praise it all day. I love how you ate that carrot. You're crunching so well. I mean, that's the only thing you can praise that day. Because think about a kid's life. Sometimes they feel like I'm followed around, told, do this. Yeah, tie your shoes correctly. Button your shirt correctly.
Brush your teeth.
Yeah, all day long, it's how you're not living up to the standard. Mm. All day long.
Especially teenagers, because they start bugging you.
And now teenagers, now it's not just your standards, it's all their peers' standards. Oh. So the weight is even heavier of how they're not living up. You know, they're realizing, oh, my skin has all these pimples on it. I don't live up to the world's
standard
of beauty and things like that. So they're feeling it in every way. So when you can do something fun like that and just say, yeah, the relationship matters more than you making straight A's.
Yes.
And they actually need to really feel that from you. Mm. And they do when you say, we're going to all play hooky together. I mean, I think that's great. I remember my mom doing that. I mean, this is way
before. She was a teacher.
She was a teacher, but, and this is way before like mental health was a thing.
Yeah.
But I can remember in high school, she'd be like, we need a mental health day. You're coming out of school. Cause I was taking all these hard classes and she would do just that. I would say my parents did this so well. When we make good grades, they'd be like, huh, that's great. Like, yeah, I mean, you're doing way better than we did. Uh-huh. It was kind of like...
It wasn't that big of a deal.
It wasn't that big of a deal. And, you know, I have a copy of my grandfather's report card. It's this old document. It's from Memphis State Schools. And what's fascinating, it's sixth grade. When you look at the report card, only 1/4 of it is grades. Mm. The rest, this whole half was character traits.
Whoa. Mm.
Really?
And they're all described, puts others' needs before his or her own. Mm. Things like
biblical truths and character.
Yes. And I was thinking, huh, how great to be a kid in this society, because maybe you don't have great handwriting, like my grandfather did not, evidently from his grade on handwriting. But he had trustworthiness. That was one of the ones. He was really good at that. Isn't that a beautiful way culture can help your child? Mm-hmm. Say, hey, it's okay that your handwriting's not that good, but we really value that you're trustworthy. I can give you a task and you're going to see it to completion. We're not doing that as a society, so we have to do that as parents.
Mm. Yeah, so a parent could say, how fortunate for a kid to grow up at that time when report cards did that. Or we could say, what a great opportunity I have as a parent to be a home that is 1/4 grades and 3/4
character.
Look what I see. You know, you said something last time you were here that impacted me. You were talking, I think, about your daughter, your oldest daughter, and you said a phrase like something like, you're so valuable to me. And I think we get sideways when we start talking about self-worth in isolation from relationship. Like, just, I'm just valuable just because. I think there's some truth to that. I'm created in God's image. But the way you framed it, like, you're valuable to me, is this not what God says to me? Mm. You're valuable to me and to my son. And so Not for what you do.
But for who you are, mm-hmm. and how God has made you.
Yeah. Mm. So I'm trying to be careful not to say, your grades are so valuable mm-hmm. to me. Mm-hmm. Your sports are so valuable to me. Your safe driving is so valuable to me, but to say, wow, I'm enthralled with you, boy. You're valuable to me.
Don't we all want to hear that?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I want to hear
that. Yeah, I'm kind of talking to myself right now.
I know. A little bit. And so think about a child who kind of grows up in that ecosystem every day of their life. You know what they're going to be able to do? They're going to be able to go out into the world and just overflow with that to others mm-hmm. because they've been well-loved. They're going to love others with that same love. That's where I always want to say what we're doing in our families is very missional.
Yeah.
Because, you know, by raising a kid who is going to be poured into with God's word and with all these prayers, even think about your son going to this Jenny Allen, maybe he's going to bring someone along who wouldn't have gone if he wasn't going. I don't know how it'll go. But just the fact that he's going there and other people go, it impacts the world. Mm. You know, we think about what's happening in our homes is only what's happening in our homes, but it makes me so excited because I'm thinking, actually, no, this changes who they are, how they're shaped and formed here, and they're going to be able to go out with that love and love other people in the same way.
That's good.
And that's so exciting. Isn't that kind of what Jesus did? Mm-hmm. He said, as I have loved you, love others. The home does that.
It's so good. Melissa, I'm wondering, would you pray for us at the end? Just spiritually, even for the teenagers. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of all the parents that are listening and just like, could you pray for our kids?
I'd love to.
Like, I love that Evan's doing that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be praying for him and all those students that God will just impact.
You know, my last thought before you pray is I think Evan called you because he knew what you're going to say and he needed to hear
it again
from one of the most important voices in his life. Mm-hmm. He just wanted to know that's the right thing to do. He knew it because he'd been raised in a family that taught him that, but he needed to be reminded. Mm-hmm. It's like the grade card. This three quarters matters more than this one quarter. Not that this one quarter doesn't matter. This matters. And we get to do that in our home and in our family.
Yeah.
We get to set the values that the world, the voices that are screaming are saying that's not true. I know there's parents listening right now who's like, no, I think the grades are the most important. That's good for you. They actually are not. God would not say that. He would say they matter. They really do matter. And they may help you get a job and all that, but they're not the most important. The character is what's most important. And they got it in the 40s and 50s. Mm-hmm. We've sort of lost that. But in the home, we get to recalibrate and say, we're going to do this by God's word. And if God's word says this matters, you reminded Evan of that. And just think, when this interview's over, he's going to be with his arms open with thousands of college kids. Mm-hmm.
That's a good day.
What a night.
That's so good. It's so really hopeful, good. Right? Because the world might be doing one thing.
Yeah.
But we get to do what we do in our homes.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Love that. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege to get to be the parent of teens, Lord. Thank you that you set us in families, that you have allowed us to even have children to get to watch grow up. But Lord, we know that they are yours. They are not ours. And so, Lord, we pray that you would do immeasurably more than even we could ask or imagine in their lives. Lord, we pray that you would make us prayerful parents, parents who are quick to come to you. Father, we pray that you would make us parents who are rooted in your word, that it would overflow from our lives into our teen lives. And Lord, we pray for what is happening with teenagers and college students right now. Lord, we just pray that your spirit would be at work in this next generation. Lord, we know we can do all the right things, but if your spirit is not at work, they are of no value. So Lord, may your spirit reach this next generation. May there be an overflow of just revival among teens, through colleges, through ministries, through all the things that are going on in this world. May they see that the world has nothing to offer and that you provide abundant life, that you give life to the full. And so, Lord, we pray that they will be drawn to Jesus, that they will see him, that they will abide in him, that they will know him, that they will love him, that they will be saved by him. Lord, this is our hope. This is our desire, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Man, what a great conversation that was with Melissa and Jim.
Isn't it fun to have Jim in the studio with
us? Yeah, it was great. And Melissa is just, she's powerful, even her prayer at the end. But her book, we've said it a couple times now. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the best we've read on parenting teenagers. It's called Parenting with Hope, Raising Teens for Christ in a Secular Age. And you can get it at familylifetoday.com or give us a call at 1-800-358-6329. Again, that's 800, F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. And let me tell you this, small groups are kicking off soon. Mm-hmm. And if you're leading one, Family Life has you covered. That's one of the things we do. It's one of the best things we do, creating world-class resources really to assist you, to equip you to lead small groups. We've led small groups in our home with resources from Family Life for over 40 years.
We have, and that's probably changed us more than anybody else.
Yeah, so right now you can get the new Art of Marriage, which is perfect for helping couples connect and grow deeper in their faith. You can get ours if you want. It's called Vertical Marriage. You can get Love Like You Mean. I mean, we've got a whole resource at familylifetoday.com. And you go there and you just sort of pick the resource you want to use. Right now, it's 25% off on all of our study materials. So,
and that sale will be going on until the end of January. So don't miss your chance to get it at this discounted price.
You can visit the show notes or familylife.com/shop to grab what you need.
We'll see you back next week for another edition of Family Life Today.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.